This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi guys, and welcome to this week's episode of Heavy Metal Returns with me, your podcast host, Tony Evans. This is take three of this episode. I've got a new Mac that I picked up because my old Mac decided to die. Just on about to record, and then when I got the new Mac home, the old Mac started working again. Anyway, so I had to transfer all the files and all the information over, and it's been a bit higgledy-piggledy, and I'm not a computer person, so you have to bear with me. This is going to be a slightly shorter episode this week, guys. Lots going on in Heavy Metal Tones, unfortunately. My little cat's not well and has to have surgery, so we're sort of waiting on referrals for that, and we're sort of a bit scatty when it comes to that kind of thing at the moment. And the new laptop. So it's some, you know, odd things happening in over here. But this week's episode is going to be a quick look at the new Iron Maiden, the new Bruce Dickinson album, which is the Mandrake Project. It had two singles released off of it, which was Afterglow of Ragnarok and Rain on the Graves. It's a loosely based concept album, Brucey likes to say. This is Bruce's words, okay? It's basically about... there was a 12-page comic that he made, a 12-story comic. Visual, like a traditional comic, and he sort of based each track, so I believe, on loosely on each of the comic stories. It's a concept album about two evil geniuses, Dr. Necropolis and I believe Dr. Icarus, not Icarus, what did I say Icarus for? Lazarus. And they basically have this, it's a pool of minds between the two. They have a project called the Mandrake Project, which is a way of harvesting souls and storing them. And there's an ethical and an existential, as they pull themselves apart, trying to work out what is the right thing to do, what is not the right thing to do. And it's an interesting idea. Very much the same sort of thematical theme that Bruce has been digging for some time. Of course, this album has an alternative version of Eternity Has Failed, which is sort of something that he really sort of enjoyed digging into when he wrote the lyrics for Book of Souls and for Senjutsu, I think. He sort of has a real love of the concept of afterlife and mysticism. I think women get to a certain age, they start to look at that themselves, and I think that's where it's coming from for him. The musically, it feels just off the page of Book of Souls, to be honest with you. Also, it doesn't sound like any of his previous solo albums, even though it's the same producer and guitarist with him, Roy Z, who wrote the lyrics, or some of the lyrics, played some of the guitars, played some bass, and also produced it. they're a good partnership. They really have sort of dug a very deep furrow with that particular duo. But it does have a very, it has that kind of, you know, the way that Maiden went with this sort of Book of Souls, Aztec-y feel. And I think that's where he's sort of, because I know he loves ancient history, philosophy, and, you know, mystical texts. So I think that's where Bruce is getting that from. It's a nice basic album. You know, it sits in at around, you know, 10 tracks at 58 minutes. It doesn't, you know, it really does gallop along quite quickly. It doesn't really, falter. It sort of does start off, I have to say, with the single Afterglow of Ragnarok, which I thought was an interesting opening track. Again, as I said, these are all loosely connected pieces of music, very stylistically different, actually, as you go through it. There's some real traditional metal in it. There's some really modern, sort of almost doom-esque kind of things. There's certainly your typical sort of proggy stuff that you come to love with Brucey. His vocal stylings on this album are probably the best he's done in quite some time, to be brutally honest. He does sometimes overreach his vocal level, like he'll get into registers like he did with the previous Maiden album, where he's trying to get that really high falsetto voice, and he sort of loses definition with his words. He'll admit to that. He does that. He gets overworked, you know, overexcited, and gets that register, and you can't quite enunciate with some of the lyrics. I do like it when he's down an octave these days, much more so than when he's sirening away at the top level. But the package itself, with the comic and the concept, is pretty interesting. I think you'll all agree. You know, we have the track listing here. Okay, we've got Afterglow of Ragnarok, Many Doors to Hell, Rain on the Graves, Resurrection Men, Fingers in the Wounds, Eternity Has Failed, Mistress of Mercy, Face in the Mirror, Shadow of Gods, and Sonata, open brackets, Immortal Beloved, close brackets. And I said it doesn't stick around too long. Like some of the recent Maiden albums have sort of had a bit of a point where you go, okay, all right, I'm looking bad enough now. Can we sort of bring this to a close? I've got other things I need to do. Now that sounds sacrilege to you Maiden fans. Well, I'm a huge Maiden fan, as you know this. I'm staring right as we speak at my Maiden collection in front of me. It's quite vast. So it's nothing to do with this love of the band. It's just I feel that, like with some great authors, self-editing sometimes can be a bit tricky because you've all got your fingers in the pies, right? But it was sort of come, as I said, it came to be at the sort of at the birth of COVID. So times when he had plenty of time to think about this, and of course during COVID we all thought of our mortality, didn't we not? So this is a good birth of it. What I like about it is, though, even though it's sort of a COVID baby album, he's not gone on about it. It's not mentioned in the lyrics. He's not gone on about it. Like there's some albums that came out recently that have sort of post-COVID, particularly just afterwards, and where, you know, there were songs based around it when you just lived in it, you didn't want to hear about it. And I didn't want other people's concepts about it, particularly well-off people that can sit in their mansions, you know, counting their money and writing their music. No, I didn't want to hear that. That wasn't something that was something I want. Not that I was running away from it, but I just did. I thought, well, it's not really my thing, right? But where does it sit? Where does it sit in his pantheon of solo albums? Interesting, right? Interesting, because I've only lived with it since the 8th of March it came out. No, the Was it the 1st of March? I can't remember. It was one of those two. I've only lived with it for a little while, and it hasn't grown on me to the point where I've had to replay it so many times yet. Well, I mean, I'd be honest with you, my mind has been distracted with things, as I mentioned before. So it has been a bit tricky to get my head around. And my father's also not well, so my brain, he's only got so much he can squeeze into this old man's noggin. And I think that this is his best vocal performance for quite some time. Even though I said, you know, he does sometimes overreach himself, this is his best vocal performance. I think it's the best mix, certainly the best paced album of his latter solo albums. I would say it sits to me. I'm gonna now people are gonna roll their eyes at me here, but everyone knows that Tattoo Millionaire is my favorite. I think it sits in, but I think it's somewhere in around the top four, even possibly top three. No, definitely top four at this moment. I think he's really taken his, you know, his experience with Maiden in the last, since the turn of the decade, sorry, since the turn of the millennium, and sort of grown with it, and not, he's not embarrassed to be what he is. Like, I think I've mentioned this before, but with Tattoo Millionaire, it was almost like he had to make that album. You know, he had to be, he was playing someone he's not. Whereas with these latter albums, you know, they definitely, for me, are more him. You know, lyrically, they're deeper. And we'll talk about the lyrics in the second half. Lyrically, they're deeper. Conceptually, they're much more grown up. And, you know, it's not for everyone because it doesn't go a million miles an hour. It's not the heaviest thing in the world. And I've heard people say to me many times that they've been put off Maiden a lot. Turn of Millennium Maiden's put them off because they're not as fast or as catchy as it used to be. And I think that's a little fucking hokum because, you know, the reason that Maiden and Bruce has stayed relevant, unlike a lot of bands, I'm looking at you, Metallica, have not, is because they are willing to grow and change with their audience. And their audience, who love them so much, are willing to grow to change with them. I think that the fans of people like Metallica and all those sort of those ones, they're not willing for it to change. They want to be white, high top, tight jeans, you know, leather jacket, 1983, forever. And that, look, you know what? That's fine. And you've got your four albums, in my opinion, in Metallica that you can always go back to. And they are brilliant, brilliant albums. You know, they're one of my Desert Island Discs. If you know what that is, showing my age here, my Desert Island Disc would be one of them, would be Ride the Lightning. And that's an absolute truth. But the reason that he has stayed relevant is that he's moved and his fan base has moved with him. He's brought new fans with him. He's brought all fans along. He hasn't tried to be 21 again. He knows his limitations and he does what he wants. Let's be honest, he's rich enough and famous enough that he could put an album out of like Rob Halford did of Christmas songs, and it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if he sold 4 copies or 100 copies. It wouldn't matter, make a difference, because, or a million copies, because it's not about for him making money. I'm sure making money is good. Everyone likes to make money. But I think for him, it's about a body of work he can be proud of and creative work that he is singularly enjoying to tour and to promote and to think about. And you know what? He's made a 12 story comic to go with this album. And for me, that's just like going, hey, I'm coming back to my childhood, but not, you know, my sort of teenage years when we would go to the comic store or go to the newsagents and buy a comic. I mean, I don't think anyone does that anymore, do they? I'm sure there are people out there that do, but it's not something you do regularly, and it's not something you can just go to your newsagents and get. When we were lads in the dark ages, it's all online now, isn't it? I mean, I remember, you know, eagerly on going and getting my copy I used to go and get a comic called Oink, which was like a really sort of anarchic, like a kid's version of Viz. And then I used to get 2080, of course. I love 2080. I used to absolutely pore over that comic. Judge Dredd was my favourite. Absolutely loved it. And I used to also really enjoy reading my brother's Dandy and all those sort of things. And Beano and all that kind of stuff, you know. And they were just sort of mindless entertainment because kids' programmes didn't come on until the afternoon. So you didn't have all 24-hour TV, so you had to entertain yourselves, and comics were one of those ways of getting them. And you could share them around with friends, and you could do all sorts of stuff. It was great. Anyway, that's enough of this side. I'm going to stop rabbiting, but we'll talk about the other side. Quick rundown of all the tracks, because that's what you hit one here coming here for. And we'll talk about the music, and then we'll see where we go from there. Bye for now.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back, guys, to part two of the show. Now, I was using my new Mac, so I had to sort of, it's a third attempt to get it done, so I hope it's worked okay. We're opening up the album with Afterglow of Ragnarok. Now, most of you, if you would have are into the industry, this stuff would have heard, probably heard the single when it was released a little while ago. It was on all the socials, you know, the TikToks and the Instagrams and the YouTubes and the Facebooks. It was everywhere. And it's a really bold and bombastic track. It's very heavy. It opens up with some really precise, very sort of low-tuned, or sort of, no, sort of high-tuned drums, really cutting through the atmosphere. There's obviously some keys going on, and you know, the guitar is really sort of rhythmic and very solid, right? It's a really quite an atmospheric track. So I'm not sure I would have opened with this one, but you know, it is singles often these days. If the first single off the album often opens the album, so hey, but it's a real Brucey song. It's a real roller coaster of imagery and spectacle, really. I mean, lyrically, it's okay. You know, it's comes a lot from that "Eternity has failed" kind of lyric. You know, "I am your very soul, the one you don't know. I am the truth that's playing hide and seek. I will not be free. I cannot choose to be till my creator takes the chains off me. All is come to nothing. All will burn in hell. Now the bridge is broken. All is overcome." Again, it's very mystical. It's very, I mean, Ragnarok is the end of the world for the Celts, the Vikings. And it's all about being set free, your soul being set free, which, you know, I think that comes again from the Mandrake Project idea, right? Where Lazarus and Necropolis are trying to restrain or capture the soul at death, and Ragnarok would be everyone. It would be the end of the world for everyone. So it's capturing everything. It's all about, you know, not being... "I cross the shining seas, eyes of creatures follow me. Midnight guides us to the steady course. Afterglow of Ragnarok." I don't think it's connected with the Lazarus and Necropolis story, but I think it's a connection tenuously, because it's about, you know, after you've passed on to Ragnarok. And if you know any of your Viking history or mythology, that's very much like River Styx, you know, very much like sort of traveling into the underworld or to the afterlife. A good version of that, actually, I mean, it sounds really silly, but a good fun way of taking that story on is actually Terry Jones's 80s movie Eric the Viking, which was based on his books, his comic, his picture books. And I think that's actually a good way of getting your head around a very complicated concept with a bit of fun. Actually, one of my favorite movies of that period. That aside, so it is, it's quite good. It's got a fantastic rollicking chorus. The solos are typically clean and fast. The drumming is, you know, and to be honest, I think this is probably Bruce's best vocal line on the album. I could think differently later on once I've heard it a few more times, but I think this is a real sense of bombast open the album up, real moment of glorious Bruciness. If there ever is a term, I'd say Bruciness is the right one. It's very much so. It could easily be on a Maiden album, very easily. And I wouldn't be surprised if it finds its way onto a Maiden album in the future. But it very much feels like it, that kind of mythology and awe and love of Celtic, in, you know, imagery. It's a brilliant single. Probably one of the best singles he's released in a long time. In fact, I ordered it on its release, pre-ordered. It came with a comic book and a poster. It's signed. It's a really, really nice single. Gatefold. It's really lovely. And I think that sort of single is something, a really good way of releasing, launching an album. Something sumptuous, something fun. You know, don't come out the gates with a sort of timid like they did, like Maiden have done in the past. The last couple of singles that first came off their albums were probably the wrong choices. I've said that before. This felt like it was the right choice, in my opinion. And then we get on to Many Doors to Hell. Again, another afterlife concept, as I've talked about before, with River Styx, okay, and all that sort of, you know, all that sort of nonsense. This really is a more traditional sounding track. So you've gone from the bombast and atmosphere of Afterglow of Ragnarok to a more traditional rhythm concept and pace to this particular track. Now, I haven't had enough of the lyric. I've really got to get into the lyric of this one. I tried researching more, but Bruce hasn't really given much out. Again, with Brucey, you don't know what he's been reading. He might have been reading something and the song has come to him. Also, it might just be something that he's thought of. Basically, the lyric is quite a complex and dense one. It's a very wordy, which is something that Bruce is good at. As I said, when he brings down his octave, he can really fill the lines with lyrical goodness. And you know me, I love a good lyric. It's my favourite part. Sometimes my favourite part of the song, if not always my favourite part of a song, is the lyric content. And this one, I'm going to read out just a passage because it's quite interesting of a lyric, okay? It starts with, "All things of love and beauty lost in clouds of fiery dust. Beneath the blood-red sky, the shifting sands will cover us. We drink the cup of secrets, dreaming of the afterlife. The sun begins its journey, taking us from night to day to night. So where was God when I needed him the most? What salvation is, Holy Ghost? For what I've done, you cannot blame me. I've lived across the centuries." So again, like, I'm not quite, I mean, I don't want to go through every part of the lyric here. It is a lovely, fantastic, sumptuous story. So do bear with me. Do sit down and listen to the lyric closely and see what you think of it. Again, of course, it's all connected with this Lazarus and Necropolis, Keeper of Souls concept. At the chorus is, "Our life will leave us with wounds so grievous. Human deceivers, I'm your soul retriever." A little bit of an interesting chorus, but I like it. It's very funky in some respects. "When the sun goes down, I wear my thorny crown. I know them oh so well. The many opening doors to hell. Prometheus unbound, tears of dissolution found. Believe the tales I tell. The many opening doors to hell." So it could also be about someone taking a soul to the Neverworld, right? It could be. You know, the boatman across the River Styx, you know, that's what it could be. It is a deliciously traditional song musically. So, it, you know, you can take your mind off listening to the concepts of the music once you've listened to it through it once and give yourself a lyrical listen. I'm going to do that again later on and just see if I pick up. I will come back to this album sometime later in the year with a more in-depth view. This is, again, as I said, it's sort of like a quick jump because it's been a tough one here, and got to keep the show going. Got to keep the show going, guys. So the next track is "Rain on the Graves." Now, "Rain on the Graves," a lot of atmosphere again. We're going back to atmosphere, very much Afterglow of Ragnarok. It's the second single, and you can see why. It's quite a dense and dark piece of music. Lots of fascinating audio image. I paused in too soon. Do you see? I paused on imagery. Sorry. Audio imagery. This one has a real storytelling feel to it. It feels like Bruce is, he's basically punctuating the music with stories, talking more than singing on this particular track. And in fact, a lot on this album. And it's got a real sort of, a folky feel, even a country feel to the way that he's telling the story, but more like folk, more like a, you know, I was sitting around a campfire and some wizened old man telling a story, and it is a real story. It's it, it it there is a lot to the lyric, okay? In a country churchyard, I came across a man. He smiled and slowly beckoned me with a trembling hand. Did you come to gamble or did you come to pray? What's the meaning of your business here on a stormy day? See, I think that's also about meeting the devil in a graveyard. You think is a priest, but he's a devil. And you're gambling your soul away with him. The raindrops splattered on the tomb from grey and leaden skies. Deny me once, deny me twice, don't look me in my eyes. I think, again, let it wash your soul of dying faithlessness, he denied, and truth that had come to steal. To kneel before the poet, not the altar or the priest, he washed himself in misery before he came to pray. He hoped in his forced patience some sympathy he'd sway. I think that's him, about a man journeying to, beckoned to by the devil to gamble his soul away, to clean either clean himself in of his sins or sell his soul, his immortal soul, to the devil. And I think that's it's really beautifully pictured and portrayed in the music and in the imagery, in the video, and in the concept of rain on the graves. So I really, it's like, if you think about it, it's quite heavy, isn't it? I mean, it's already sad to be a graveyard, or then raining in grey leaden skies can be, you know, imaged, can be concept of sadness and loneliness. And I think this is a really good, again, connecting very nicely, loosely to the Acropolis and Lazarus's story of the soul. It's all connected back to the soul, right? And he's been very much that way for quite some time. I mean, you have to nod over two Maiden albums to go and look at Book of Souls, and Senjutsu wasn't far. I know it was an war-based one, but there was some deep soul searching in that one. And then we come to my favorite track on the album, which is Resurrection Men. Resurrection Men was a term used for grave robbers, I believe. They were resurrection men, so people that took bodies out from the ground to sell them to hospitals, freshly interred bodies, so that they could do autopsies and learn anatomy, because it was illegal for quite some time, particularly in the UK. And resurrection men, famous resurrection men, were Burke and Hare, of course, who eventually ended up running out of bodies to take fresh bodies, so end up murdering to fulfill their orders, to be honest. It's a horrible story, but musically it's quite doomy. It reflects the lyrical concept and the idea of it. It's quite a thick, robust bass tone, and it's very doomy. For me, it's probably the most doomy thing on the album, which is probably why I like it. It's slower, it's a little bit more heavier, and it's just got sort of, it doesn't run away at breakneck speed. And I think that Bruce's vocal line is also really quite, again, the octave down. It does go up occasionally, but he holds it really well here. It's also got a real kind of nod to things like The Cure and The Sisters of Mercy, sort of 80s goth. Interestingly enough, it's sort of a bit of a gallop in it, this guitar gallop that sounds, could come straight out of an early Mission album, or as I said, off of Flood, you know, this is the Mercy album. It has that sort of dynamism that doesn't feel metallic, but feels sort of punky, but more very gothy, I think, very gothy. And it's okay in the lyric here. I'm going to grab some of the lyric here. In the ascension, come, we're poles apart. I'm the wizard of your heart, clear cell and slice of blue on a different earth to be with you. We are starseed, our respirator, breathing cosmic incubator. Innocent, translucent white, we are the children of the night. We're resurrection men. At the point of death, we take you to the end. Resurrection men, eternity has failed you once again. See, now, when I read that lyric, I don't now think of Burke and Hare, but I would. Resurrection Men, to me, as soon as I think of that, is to do with that concept. But also now, when you read the lyric out loud and think about it again, this is always good to learn as you go. It does directly to the concept of the album, which is it's a Necropolis and Lazarus's project to main control the soul or capture it at the point of death, so you can resurrect them people again. And so that's probably why I really love this particular track, because as I said, it could be about Birkenhair or things like that, but it could also be about directly concept to the album. See, so it's good to learn as you read, I suppose. Yeah, I think that's basically what it is. I think when I think about it, Resurrection are those people like Birkenhair, but they're also, it's directly aimed at these two characters in the show, in the story. And it's a gripping song. I go back to all the time as I've listened to this album about 5 or 6 times. And when I've gone back to it, I tend to wait for Resurrection Men to come on, because I really like the tonality of the song and the time changes and the rhythmic nuances and also the lyrical content. It's funny, isn't it? When I listen to the lyrics, I was always thinking of Birkenhair. I didn't even link it to the story that it's based on, which is, it's nice, isn't it? So you get two different things out of the same song. And then we come on to Fingers in the Wound, a much more dramatic traditional song. This one, Bruce's vocal is quite high. It's quite old Brucey, this particular track. And I really do love the pace of this particular song. It's very easy listening Bruce vocally. But the lyric is probably one of the best on the albums, actually. Just this passage here. I just take a hero, you stand in the shadows, you walk in the shoes with feet made of clay. So who's the sinner and who is the prophet? The rules of the game that you're going to play. So put your fingers in the wounds and pray that he's God. A roll of the dice for a piece of his cloth. It just takes a hero for a nickel or a dime. Take a pearl from an oyster and feed it to a swine. I love that kind of thing, like, for, you know, feeding oysters to pearls to swine, and I love it. I also really love the concept of take the piece of cloth. So is that a bit of cloth of Christ? You know, put your fingers in the wounds. Is it about the resurrection of Christ? Is it about the people hanging around Christ on the cross? Because they heal his wounds while he's on the cross with a wad of cloth and a pain relief, like a hallucinogen. It's just, yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. I think that's, again, another resurrection story, isn't it? Again, it's to do with the concept. But if it's Christ, then a very nicely linked story of the soul leaving the body. Because, you know, did his soul leave the body? Did it stay there? If he did exist, and if it was true or is true, when, at what point did it leave and what point did it come back? And, you know, I love the idea of that fingers in the wound and pray that it's God. Like, I think it's just, yeah, it's, and again, it's quite a beautiful lyric, actually, for quite a dark subject. I really love this song. The second part of this album really does come into its own, because after this you get Eternity Has Failed. Now, I'm not going to go over the lyric. People have listened to this song on the Maiden album, Book of Souls. It is where Dr. Necropolis is mentioned, and at the end he does that little talk over about the soul, capturing the soul and all that sort of stuff. Let me just get that. I will get that bit. Hang on. Yeah, it definitely, hang on, excuse me, sorry. Yeah, you know, I am Dr. Necropolis. I am formed of the dead. Building bridges to eternity and all that sort of stuff. This is actually like he did with Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter from his solo album, went on to the Maiden album, sort of reversed. It's from his Maiden album to the solo album. And I think it's a interesting version of it, because on the album, it's quite a dramatic piece of music, whereas I think on the solo album, it's slightly thinner in its sound. It's got a more, again, a bit more gothy in its guitar intro. Obviously, you don't have the two guitar gods that produce on it. You don't have Murray and, you know, and Adrian. You don't have those two on there, so it doesn't have the kind of thickness. You also don't have Steve Harris on bass, so it doesn't have a Nico on drums. You just don't have that combination. But I think that he's tweaked it enough for it to be in, for Maiden fans to enjoy it as a different version. I must admit, when I was walking down the street with it on, I didn't actually know this was going to be on the album, and I wasn't looking. I wanted to not look at the set list, the track list. I just wanted to put it on and listen and walk. And I actually had to pull my phone out and see if I'd accidentally pocket moved it to a Maiden album, because I thought, what's going on here? But I can see why he's pulled it onto this album, because it does go with that story so dramatically well. It's really perfect for this album. I wonder if he would have liked to have released it as a single but couldn't because of the Maiden connection. I don't know. I think it sits really, really well on this particular album. Again, I'm not going to go over the lyric, because I've talked about that before when I reviewed the Book of Souls album. I think I reviewed it too many albums ago. I think I did. Either way, most people have heard Bruce's Maiden career if you listen to this podcast. If you haven't, I'm not going to tell you about it. Go and jump and listen to the original one off Book of Souls, and then go and listen to this one and see what you think. And then we get Mistress of Mercy. Mistress of Mercy is very, has a sort of poppy feel to it, right? It takes me right back to almost the sound he was getting on sort of definitely on Chemical Wedding. There's a sound there. It's sort of, he's very high registered in his vocal, so he's up the octave. It's pumping along. It's very poppy. It's very radio friendly, I think, this particular track. It certainly sits contrasting quite dramatically to Eternity Has Failed. It's sort of, it's the, I think, the lightest track on the album. And I mean that when I say light, I don't mean like pop light, like Britney Spears or, you know, Taylor Swift light. I'm talking about sort of mid-Maiden almost light in that respect, that it's not grindingly heavy. It's got a real fast pace gallop to it. Again, I'll give you the lyric, okay? Some of it. Give me my freedom, release me from my pain. Mistress of Mercy, come thrill me again. Time to return to the womb whence I came. No more tomorrows, no judgment or blame. I can be what I never was, skeletons of fury, because my mind was lost. So what that says to me is Mistress of Mercy. So it sounds like reincarnation, right? Isn't it? That particular lyric sounds like a reincarnated lyric. So again, it's soul going and leaving and coming back again, back into the womb to be something you never were. So getting a second chance. And a lot of Bruce's concepts are about second chance, about reliving life again. A lot of it. And I feel that he's the latter day Maiden albums, because he did a lot of quite a bit of lyrics with Steve. There's his solo stuff is much more that rebirth, you know, sort of concept. You know, I can be what I never was now that I'm ready. Now my mind is lost, far from the old way. Sleepers all awake, lost in the harmony. The majesty, the ecstasy, another world, another life, afterlife again. So, you know, so he's lived again, he's died again, he's round again, and it sounds like to me like reincarnation. But that's why it feels like one of the early, this is really esoteric, but it sounds like musically like early Bruce solo, or mid-Brusolo, sorry. So it connects with the concept of the album, and musically it sounds like a rebirth, which I think is pretty smart. And then we're going to come on to Face in the Mirror. Oh, can you hear that? I press play. Oh, don't make yourself contact match there. What I do, ladies and gentlemen, is so I don't write the lyrics out, I go onto Spotify and I basically go to the track and I turn the volume down and I go to the lyric line and I just go from there. Sometimes I forget to turn the volume down. But yes, so Face in the Mirror, I think probably the weakest track on the album. Look, that's a tough thing to say when I say the weakest. It's my least favourite, okay? So it's a lot of... sounds like... it's very much folky Bruce. So it's got, you know, light guitar line, a spoken vocal. It's a softer track. So to some extent, it's like it's just a lighter melody, right? That doesn't mean it's a bad song. It's a fantastic track. All the tracks, I think it's all killer, no filler. It's just my least favorite on the album. But I love the concept of the lyric. It's about a man looking in the mirror and reflecting on his life. He talks about, I drink to ease the pain, to dull the maddening roar, oblivion again. In a house that has no door, a face in the mirror, it's a waiting game. Look at your face in the mirror. Does it look the same? So it's basically looking at his soul, staring into his soul, and what stares back at him. You know, like, it's a crying shame. Look at your face. Look at your face. It's a beautiful song. It is a beautiful song. It's definitely a softer track, and that's not a bad thing, because I like contrast, light and dark, and it does have that sort of nice softness to it. It still has some interesting musical pieces. It's still a bit fast here and there, but it's just a bit softer. You can hear Bruce's prog influences massively in this particular track, and I do love the fact that he's being introspective and retrospect, like he's looking at the mirror and it's looking back at him, his soul, because, you know, in a lot of cultures the mirror reflects your soul way. You know, some cultures can't have mirrors. They have to be covered. And I think that's a beautiful reflection back to the concept of the album. Nice way of sort of coming towards the end of the album. And then Shadow of the Gods. Oh, whoopsie. See, I'm doing it again. Shadow of the Gods. What do we say about Shadow of the Gods? Let's think about this. This is classic Bruce. It's classic Maiden, in fact. It starts off piano, slow, it builds, it's almost a song in three sections. It builds to a really rollicking, heavy, fast crescendo. What a track. It really is something special. You know, you come off of the previous one, Face in the Mirror, you think, oh, okay, I'm coming into another slow track. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't stay there. It moves. It really changes in quite a way. Lyrically, though, it's lyrically for me. Okay, here. And so we lay under the moon, the stars have crossed our path tonight. So journey on, our wandering souls, let our tears fall on our own against the sun. There are shapes in the fire around the stars, our blue and grey halos, forever in the light, a pathway silvered and untold, a frozen river, a river of souls. So again, it's Shadow of the Gods. For me, it's about the reflects the Ragnarok concept at the beginning of the album. Journey of his soul in the afterlife, that Lazarus and Necropolis are trying to hold. And there is the dichotomy of this album, the concept of these two men trying to withhold the soul after once it leaves the body so they can resurrect the people. The dichotomy is those souls have got journeys to take to go on to other things, whatever religion, whatever concept you choose to live your life by, these souls have got things to do. They're beyond our mortal being. that's where they've got to go. They've got, so by trapping them and reinstating them, they're not letting them grow or change. Very Buddhist kind of concepts. But I think this is what you get with this album, and I think that's what makes it such a deliciously interesting album. But this is one of the musically most interesting tracks in the album because it does have such a change. It's almost operatic in its build, okay? And then we get to the end track, Sonata Immortal Beloved, all right? Sonata Immortal Beloved. What can we say about this? He ends on an absolute whopper of a track here. It's again in that sort of progressive ethereal feel that the whole album has taken from this concept, a so loosely based concept. He's taken and gone on such an amazing lyrical journey. This one again has this sort of windswept, almost like Afterglow of Ragnarok and Face in the Mirror. It's very windswept, it's very reflective, it's very soul affirming, weirdly, this album. It's very, very positive because it's what it's saying, that, you know, beyond this mortal flesh, on we go, journey travels on. Now that's not everyone's idea. I mean, there's a lot of people out there listening to this will go, what are you talking about, Tony? And I don't necessarily believe in everything that this is, these concepts are coming through, but I think it's a real, we as a human species have always thought, what's beyond, what goes next? And I think this is a lovely way of portraying that in our medium, in our heavy metal medium. And it's not just always about chicks and tight pants and leather coats and, you know, speed, is it? It can also be artistic and creative. And this has a beautiful lyric right at the end, something that really captures me. I'll read you the lyric, right? Okay. At the beginning, it says, here in the dark forest where nothing will live, I see the frozen eyes. Maybe something can be heard. Frozen raindrops hanging on the trees. Here in the dark forest where angels live and angels sleep. Herein my heart is raging again and again. Save me now. So basically, he's saying that he's not, how do I say it? He's in a dark place, right? In a real dark place. And he wants to get into the light, okay? The king returned and all was silent. The body of his frozen queen, tragic. The acolytes around her express the horror. Make me whole again. Bring back my queen. Make me whole again. And free the ice queen now. Come back to me and come back to me. I mean, again, within that story, within this, I mean, I'm just grabbing lyrical bits. He kissed her on the lips. Her tears melted stiff underlying flesh. Her lips touched her last frozen breath, a strange light illumined her eyes. The shadow of the valley of death approached, and the king cried, for I am damned, what have I done? So obviously it's about someone bringing back to life with black magic and the soul of his dead loving wife. Should he have done it? Should he have brought it back? Probably not. And that's what I think he's trying to say. It ends on saying we shouldn't capture the soul, we should not fiddle with it, we should not change it. And again, it's a real operatic textured and thematic and atmospheric track that just underlines the concept of this album really succinctly. And I really hope you enjoy listening to it, because I've really done, and I'm going to go back now and sit there. And I do recommend getting the lyric sheet up, looking at the lyrics on your phone, listening along and seeing what you come from it. I know that's what I do. Anyway, thanks for listening. Sorry for the ups and downs, and maybe there's sometimes I've been a bit, my mind has gone elsewhere. It's because of what's going on. But anyway, I'll keep you updated about all that. So I'm looking forward to doing the next week's episode. The next week's episode is going to be the new Priest album, which I'm really excited to talk about, because it's an absolute 10%, 100% banger of an album. Anyway, enough for me at the moment. That's for me this week. I'll see you next week. Remember, go and like and subscribe and say and give me some reviews. I'd love to know what you think. I'm getting some absolutely fantastic feedback on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. it's a really nice place. People are really sort of chatting away, particularly of the older episodes. People are really getting into them and leaving me some fantastic. Some people have read some whole like passages of information, which has been really eye opening. Thanks again for that, guys. Whether it's positive or negative, I really enjoy it. Chat to you next week, guys. Bye for now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.